float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. This is the Get Down on Black Hollywood Live. Stay tuned. That was a nice little transition that worked for me. Hi guys, welcome to the Get Down on Black Hollywood Live. We are covering episodes 4 and 5 this week for safety. Forget safety, be notorious. You got wings, learn to fly. We're getting into some heavy stuff. We're getting answers now. We're learning so much more about these characters and their secret past. It's been crazy. What did you guys think of these last two episodes?
Loved them.
My God, they were amazing.
Yes. So not too much info. It was just enough info to get us engaged.
It definitely got me really hyped for this very last episode. I'm so excited. We have so much to talk about. But first, why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
My name's Heather. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Heather Yared.
Hey, everyone. My name is Sheldon. You can find me on all social media at SheldonWhite2.
And I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique. Let's just dive right in to the very tops of these episodes. We got so much to cover. And we start, forget safety, be notorious, with the mayoral election. Mm-hmm. Ed Koch, depending on who you ask, is running. And he is running on a platform of no more lawlessness. He's anti-graffiti. He is here to change the city, is the original presentation that we're given of him in that really great newsreel footage. What's your first impression of Ed, guys?
To change the city and be focusing on just graffiti, I was like, wait, did I miss something? I think I missed something here. So I think he was plugging on that, and that it.
Yeah,
so.
Forget rolling blackouts. It's the graffiti that's right? The real issue here.
Yes. Yeah, he just seems to want to win. I mean, and he doesn't seem to understand what the actual issues are of the city. So, yeah.
Definitely. He says, tough times demand tough leadership. We'll see, Ed. We'll see. Francisco is running a black market in Oban, which is kind of cool, actually.
Kind of cool, yeah.
I was really impressed. First of all, the set design was really great. That's an Oban kind of lot that we come back to again and again throughout the show. So I really like kind of seeing it. And everyone really excited to buy their stolen wares. What did you guys think? We've got, in that same scene, we've learned that there are new crews popping up. Funky Five, the Ultimate Power Posse, the Invincible Three. And in this point, Shao says, I'm Flash's apprentice. If anyone's going to be the next DJ, it's me.
Oh, and then they were like, oh no, we can't tell him. I'm still shocked that they still hadn't told him yet. And then I also was surprised that everybody went to steal stereo equipment. I guess back in like the 70s, that is what they would steal instead of like fur coats or something like that. But the fact that so many DJ groups popped up, I was surprised.
And
to
what
see
did
that.
They say? They were like, they were, I think they said they were 3, 4, 5, maybe 5 before the blackout. No, everyone's a DJ.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like this might be the death of disco. Like we witnessed it almost like a shift overnight. Like people are slowly moving away from it. They've discovered DJing, but they couldn't get into it because it was expensive. But you know, now we've got this nice shopping spree, $5 discount across the city. You know, everyone can now take their stand at it, which is kind of cool. Opens up a lot of possibilities for future battles and stuff. But sure. Also kind of makes paints a target on our guys' back because, you know, what did you steal? We know you guys have been into this longer. So we'll get back to that.
Yes, yes. I was surprised to... Actually, I like that Chow keeps saying to them in certain scenarios, because in that scene where they don't tell him the truth, we see it. Where he's like, y'all keep telling me I'm the bad guy, I'm this and that, but you're doing exactly what I was doing or what I am doing. So I liked that, you know, we had a little bit of innuendo there.
I kind of like this back and forth between Shao and Zeke, of Shao being like, we gotta be hard and we gotta do it. And Zeke be like, maybe there's a smart way
right.
Where we don't kill someone or end up dead ourselves. It's a good balance because, you know, sometimes Zeke, obviously, since the beginning we've known he needs that push to get out and go into the world. He's not naturally inclined to present himself. Where Shao is just 100% show out. And Shao likes to run into trouble, where Zeke is like, maybe we don't have to. So I'm glad we're kind of seeing this formation of their friendship take place. I have a feeling we're going to see that get a little bit rocky here in the future. But let's skip ahead to Flash is talking to Caesar's crew. And they need to find the bootleggers who took a tape. So he now knows that they threw the party last episode, that someone is big. And his reasoning behind this is like, if they can have it, they're not going to want to come see me.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting given all of the stuff happening in the records today where people are like, Chance the Rapper's just like, just take it. Just have it. Come see me when you can. Yes. Buy a t-shirt.
Yeah. See, that shows how big of a deal. See, we see how big of a deal it was in the last, like, 10 years with us. So it must have been a huge deal back then. And I was very surprised that Caesar and his crew were like, no, we're not helping you out. I was also surprised that he was like, are you sure it's Shaolin? And he just believed it. I thought they were closer than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure why that happened or what, or if the fact that they said, we're not helping you find the bootleggers. I thought in that moment that Grandmaster was probably going to be like, okay, then forget what you say. It's not them. It's not him. But he didn't.
Grandmaster, I'm sorry, go
just,
ahead.
No, for the Grandmaster to keep going, I mean, he just needs that money. And he seems to be very focused on that, but he's also really focused on the art of it, too. And I really respect him in that manner, you know?
It seems to me like he's got, like, this very old school black guy leader with all the disenfranchised kids, where he's like, nobody has time to be holding your hand. Like, yeah. If they say you did it, maybe you did. It's up to you to prove to me that you didn't. Like, you need to, like, the streets aren't going to be here for you. I can't be here for you like that. You need to stand on your own two, like, feet. Which I think, especially for Shao, is probably in his best interest. I love Shao, but that kid makes crazy decisions. Mm-hmm. He's all heart, you know?
I love it. I love everybody about it. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, and we have to jump a little bit back to this open flea market, because Shao picks up an interesting piece of equipment here, which I pretty like. And I like how we kind of see how he starts creating this character. Like, first it's all Puma and red. Now he's got this cane that doubles as a sword that he's very proud of. What did you guys think of this weapon?
It's scary. Like, him running around with a sword, because like you said, he doesn't think with his head like Zeke does. That's when Zeke comes in. He thinks with his heart and his soul, and to give him a sword kind of makes me nervous. Like,
I thought it was great. I thought it added that old soul essence to him. And I think that's what he loved about it. He was like, I'm the lead. I'm the, you know, conductor. So I think he felt like that.
Sword
was,
now
yes.
I'm in charge.
Well, that was great.
The dealer was like, yeah, and it belonged to this monk. And I was like, well, he's just going to fall hook, line, and sinker now. Like, yeah. This is definitely what he's kind of looking for.
I love the interaction. You were talking about the interaction between Zeke and Shao. I love the interaction between Mylene and Shao.
I hate to say so that. Much.
I can't figure out if they're going to sleep together in the next episode.
No,
or if he's trying to drive a wedge so his homie can stay with him. But something.
Well, Zeke normally ends up running with Shao, too. Like, he's like, it's okay, girl. Like, come on, come stay with me. It's okay, but I'm going to go. And he always does that.
I
and
love
she
it.
Gets mad, and she's like, screw you, and all this stuff.
They're
but...
so funny, because they're both out for the music. Like, yeah. That confuses me a little bit. Like, both of you have the same end goal, like get out of the Bronx by doing this music thing, and yet both of them don't understand. Like, I mean, Zeke a little bit more because he helps accompany her, but Mylene is just like, you're scratching my album and I don't know what you're doing. This is weird. These are bad influences. Her heart's in the right place. I wish she would trust him a little more.
See, I feel like because she never liked him, one, she deserves the hey, I'm going with my boy. He's done a lot for me. Because she wasn't doing anything for him until she let, you know, until they had sex. And then, two, it's so funny that, like, that Mylene, at the end, you know, of the, we see her actually say, hey, I'm already going to make it out, but now you might, too. So I think it's an interesting dynamic, but I love seeing Shao come in.
Also, Mylene and Zeke, was that Mylene's first time? Because they had that quick little line, and what was it? It was,
when she was passing out the stuff?
Yeah, it was passing out the stuff, and she's like, oh, our little church girls now turn into a woman.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, it was just such a subtle way to put that in because we didn't really know if maybe they had done it in their past because they had a history. So
yeah,
that
no,
cool.
That was the first time.
Yeah.
That was the first time.
And it was really sweet. And I love that. Oh, just charming.
It comes from love.
But Mylena learns in that moment that it was actually Zeke's idea to rob Les Inferno, which seemed to stop her for a minute. But then she kind of cruised right over that fact. She was like, yeah, but okay, like, I'll get him the internship and he'll be fine. I thought that was kind of interesting how fast, like, she's been so much like, he's not a bad boy, he's a good boy, and then, like, she gets that information, barely reacted. She's like,
yeah, I think it's because she thinks he's lying. Anything that he says, she's not going to believe.
That's also very possible.
But I also think it's funny. It kind of reminds me of my own, like, relationship dynamics from the past. I look at her and I'm like, oh, that's what the guys want. The girl that's going to take them away from doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Because she's so like, Zeke, let's go. Hurry up. I'm like, is that what I'm doing wrong? Do I need to be like a possessive bitch or what?
Oh, man. So then Francisco decides to visit Mayor Beam. And they're having some tips. Mary Beam's associate would like him to calm down and not be at these black market things, and calls him a colorful character, which definitely sounds like some coded language to me, and he definitely took it that way. He was not happy. He says, you know, Mayor Beam is not delivering on his promises. I don't see my community center going up. I don't see my houses being built. You're asking a lot. I'm not getting anything. And it's kind of in these moments where we see Francisco start to be like, maybe there are other options. Like, it's clear he's pretty much done with Beam. And because we know the history of New York, we know Beam is not going to do so well in this election. It's not going to be pretty for him. Did you guys re-surprise at all by this kind of quick, this, like, because at this point, he really doesn't have any other options. He's just kind of done.
Yeah, I was surprised that he did not think of Koch next, because the way that Koch came into play was not because Francisco was like, somebody get Koch on the phone. He was shocked when they wanted him. So I was surprised that he kind of felt defeated in that moment. But I love when he like roughs people up. I think it's great.
And he just sees it clearly. Like he said, like, this mess is the problem. Mm. This is the actual problem. This is what we need to handle. And Francisco just, he gets passionate and sometimes goes a little too far. But he can see things clearly.
Yeah. So then, of course, Herbert Gunn does call, who is kind of the man behind Koch, who's, he reminded me a lot of Dick Cheney behind Bush. Just be like, here's our figurehead. I'm the calm, cool, collected, actual politician behind the scenes. And he, like, Francisco was popping off on everybody. Like, his temper was short. He wasn't sure if his, you know, niece was going to get the song. He's not sure if he's going to be able to build his dream. And then Gunn's like, no, I got this. Don't fret, you know. What do they say? Like, I'll whip the graffiti artist in a public square if you want. And they're like, okay, we're on terms now.
There was some word that he used. I don't remember.
Flogged.
He's like, I'm down. Let's do it.
It's totally fine. Did this feel to anyone else like he was making a deal with the devil?
In what regard?
Just, he kind of gives, like, Francisco's clearly smart, but he kind of gives over everything really quickly. Like, once he's in, like, again with Jackie, when he was like, yeah, here's $40,000 to make an album. You know Jackie has a reputation. Can't you get, like, some citations of what he's planning to use this money for and then dole it out, like, over time? And the same thing with this guy. This guy is like, lots of promises. And he's like, yes, in. And I'm like, do that in writing or something.
He does just trust people. Like, he's like, this was going to happen. I think he's a man of his word, he expects everyone else to be a man of their word. Mm. And I think that's going to get to him. It's going to be his...
Yeah, I think it's really reminiscent of the 70s at that time. So to me, it showed exactly what it is, which was desperation blended with, like, let's just GSD. Let's get things done. Blended with the people that had the money had the money. I think he said Rockefeller had $1 billion and his money was going to come out of that funding. So if someone said they had $1 billion and I had a project I wanted to build, I would absolutely just say yes and say, hey, guess what?
We'll
what
figure it out along the way.
Yes.
We already know
that Gunn doesn't technically have to answer to anyone, not even God, apparently, according to Francisco. Like, he's one of six guys.
Kings.
Yeah, exactly. So I have instantly a bad feeling about this deal. It doesn't seem to be built on solid ground. It still seems to be built on sand. It could shift anyway. So we decide to see what happens. Next, Shao learns about the tape. He learns that they lied about using the tape, that they didn't include him in the party, and he learns in the worst possible way from the Invincible Three. Embarrassing in the middle of the street, and he knows instantly he's got to get to Shao and, like, apologize and grovel. That goes pretty bad, as we've kind of already discussed, but then Shao makes it his mission. He's like, okay, I'm gonna find the bootlegger. I'm gonna make this right. This definitely feels like something Shao is like, he's got such, like, a destined, like, kind of warrior story. And so I was kind of excited to see this, like, lone wolf kind of go off and be like, I'm going to solve this issue.
It's his life. And we see in the hallway where he's like, after he talks to him and gets switched out, he's like, doo, 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 doo. And I'm like, that's
great.
Him. Like, that's him. It's always a battle. It's always a fight. He always feels he's on his own. So I thought it was great. I like that Zeke kept being like, what are we going to do about it? I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Zeke. I mean, and as we skip ahead a little bit, like, everybody popped in too, which was really cool to see. Like, everybody has their own skill and their own thing. If they work together is when they can actually figure this stuff out and get the results they're looking for.
It's so funny how much they talk about being the Get Down brothers, but as soon as a plan is made, they're all like, different directions.
Yeah, they just scatter.
You're like, guys, come back here. We just had this conversation about brothers for life. They're adorable. So next scene is Mrs. Green and Zeke's aunt are like, look, you're gonna go work for Mr. Fuente. We have internship possibilities. This is not a question. So not shocked from the teacher perspective, but kind of a little bit shocked by Zeke's reaction, which was kind of like, yeah, okay.
I think he already thought it was going to be facilitated by Mylene. I can't remember if that came, but my belief was like, oh, he already had it. It was in the bag by Mylene. So his going with it was natural. Like, I thought that was, it was almost like an understood. But they didn't tell us that in the episode.
I think it was funny how Dizzy mentioned internship, or someone mentioned internship. He's like, oh, an internship. And he was like, oh, where...
where you work for the white man and
you don't get paid. That was so funny.
Chow was like, not about that lifestyle at all either. He was like, we have to go save
that
him.
Bitch, my lead set him up to this. There you go. Gosh. See, that serendipitous moment. See, that's what I love about this show. These serendipitous moments keep happening between Zeke and Chow where... oh, Francisco takes him to the window to look out. And he's like, look at these people. And you see Xiao pull up. I was like, oh, I got chills. I was like, there it is again. That is fate. Like, they're going to be together.
And Zeke also handled that whole situation well with Francisco. The way he was like, you need me too. Like, this is, you need me too. And this is what I can offer you. It was just really brilliant. Like, he...
we get to see so many new facets of Zeke in these two episodes, from businessman to smooth-talking lover randomly, which is great, to, like, producer. Like, he's starting to really fill into himself, and exciting to see that kind of development. And not just with Francisco, but even when he goes and talks to Gunn, he's got that same, like, you know, I'm here on a mission. You could not hire me, but it would be you missing out. And I was like, damn, son, let me do it.
Yes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get in at the ground floor. I loved it. That is what life's about right there. That's what the phenomena is. Life is what you make it. And he was just a salesperson right there. It was hot.
It'll be interesting to me when we see him actually doing the internship. Oh, yeah. Because that talk is so much different than the work. And the work will not be glamorous. And I think he might have a problem with, you know, the coffee and being barked around. But
and Xiao's going to be pulling him the whole time. Like, we got to do this, got to do this, we got to do this. Yes, so he's just going to get really spread thin.
Yeah.
So next we have one of my favorite developments, because I'm such a nerd, but Rumi meets Thor, and I'm like, love is in the air. I'm so excited. And they're spray painting in these tunnels. Dizzy is spray painting in the tunnels by himself. He goes by Rumi. That's his street tag. And the police come, and he runs, and Thor pulls him out, and they have this kind of moment of like, oh, you do good work. Oh, you do good work. And they have a very long night on the train where they're talking about the different tags they've gotten. Am I alone in the love is in the air feeling?
No, I literally thought, I also thought love was in the air. I was like, interesting dynamic here. What are we going to see next?
Yeah, love was definitely in the air. I totally felt that too. And what else? They mentioned later, this is jumping around, but they mentioned how all the DJs were homosexuals.
Yes.
I thought that was just really interesting.
I'm
like,
really excited
maybe, like,
to see that late 70s, early 80s gay scene, because from about the mid 60s to like the early aughts, like the queer community has so much happening within like developing leaders and then of course the AIDS crisis. Like, I really hope we're diving into that story and soon, because it's amazing. And then, of course, later we hear, just to wrap up Thor's kind of plot line here, is that somebody calls him a ghost, one of the other spray paint kids on the train, and they're like, you're never going to see that kid again. But he's got Dizzy's book. So I'm wondering what kind of, like, interaction they'll be having in the future, why they call him a ghost, and why he's never kind of around.
Well, so he's always doing things in the dark, I believe that's what it was. And what I thought was a really cool tie-in is, like, if you, the New York in the 70s, that is real. That is where all the graffiti artists would meet. It was like the R5 and the R7. That was their place to come and talk about this stuff. Like, that was a real thing. So those that did not come at that time, that wouldn't meet with all the other graffiti artists, that's why they called him a ghost.
Copy.
Yeah, because he was doing his own, like, things. He's like, oh, he's ghost. You'll never
catch
him.
So you've got to find him in the tunnels, in the act.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hope we see more of Thor soon. let's talk about the King of Cassettes, who becomes a huge character over these two stories. The King of Cassettes is who we think initially is the guy that is making these mixtapes, who's copying the mixtapes and handing them out. Now, we already learned from Flash that this is a huge faux pas. You do not do this. And they learned that he's going to be in DJ...
Quirks?
Yes. In their territory. And that he's going to have the kids from our group are going to have to go in there and find it. This is dangerous for them. We've already seen gangs like... just bust up into fights for no reason. We know that they're a rival DJ crew, so it's not looking good, but they're kind of committed instantly to being like, we're going to find this, and we're going to come back. So they do go in, and they kind of crash this party, and after, like, they find the tape cassettes. They set him up. They find his tapes. I'm going through this really fast because it kind of happens in a chaotic, all over the place kind of way. Were you guys? It was just so weird to me how easy it was for dude to lie and to be ripping off everyone there and for no one to know. Like, he's carrying around, like, that's heavy. It's the 70s. Like, this equipment isn't small. It's not easy to hide. So he's clearly getting away from it for a long time. How did King of Cassettes hit you in kind of all three stages where we see him? In the beginning, at the car when they rip him off, and then when we're back in the club and he kind of gets caught in his lie.
So in the car, like where the car was, whatever that big orange car is, first of all, that's amazing.
The OJ?
Yeah, the inside of that thing.
Yes.
So I loved the whole dynamic when they first, all the boys, because at first it was just Xiao and Zeke. So they were the only ones that were allowed to go, and the other ones had to clean up Mama's shop, which I thought was hilarious. But you see really the team dynamic in this like first intro to King of Cassettes, and then when he gets his sword and they run inside. I thought it was pretty, like, I guess normal for a suitcase to be under there and him to just pull it out and say, hey, look, you're doing this and so forth. I just was more surprised about the mustard and onion thing. I couldn't even pay attention to the cassette, dude. I was just paying attention to the mom. Had the mustard and onions mean anything to you? I was like, oh. I'm hungry.
Make me a hot dog, sir.
Yeah,
the whole scene, especially... Okay, so a couple of surprises. One, the fact that this is supposed to be a place of, like, peace. And he comes out and says that really quick. He's like, you're boxing with knuckles where you could be doing it with words. Like, we don't have to come to blows. We left that in the past. The fact that dude's mom and dad were there, yeah. I was like, oh, hey, moms and pops, what's up? They were adorable, by the way. And then Zeke gets another opportunity to kind of show his growth, and he wraps this story, essentially, of how they got together and why they're looking for this guy. I thought it was a really great opportunity for Zeke to kind of show up again and kind of prove that he's the leader in a lot of ways, as far as, again, having forethought.
That he got his back. He did a great job of showing Xiao, like, on the fly, hey, this time, because when they went to the get down at first, the very first get down they went to, you see him stutter. He doesn't step up. Here, mm-hmm. He doesn't even wait. It's like, move back. Y'all ready for
this? Is my time.
I got a story to tell. Yeah. And then that's when they bust him out and the tapes flip. So I thought that was good.
And a little random, but one of the guys, the, like, bad guys in that situation was an Idol, American Idol finalist. I don't know if you guys knew that or not,
but really?
He was on
no,
2 years ago.
It.
His name was Kazim Middleton, and he was great. And I haven't watched it in a while, but I watched that season. I was like, oh my gosh, that's Kazim.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
A little shout out.
That's great. I'm glad that they finally got it. I'm glad that DJ Kool Herc was like, get him done, take him outside.
Yes.
I thought that was great, that they got through it, moved forward, and there it is.
It was just over.
More mustard and onions or whatever.
We've got one more story to wrap up in this first episode, and that is the story of Jackie. Oh, Jackie, who has slid so far off base. He's got this crazy good tune, but it's only a couple bars. It's not a full song yet, and it's so heavily drug-induced, and he's hiding from the world. And the girls are like, look, we have to go down there and see. Like, I want my song. My Lena's not about the waiting. They get down there. They find him in a drug overdose. He's in the bathtub.
Oh. Regina saves him.
And then we learn a whole
Regina
lot about
just
Regina.
Step up.
The girls freaked out. Regina was like, nope, got this. Pull him out of the tub. She's like, what I need is ice. And his pants off now. She cups his balls with some ice.
And then he sits up.
And then he perks right back up. Apparently that's what you gotta do.
Yes. It shows like Mylene how innocent. Like Mylene is damaged in that moment. Like she is crying. She is uncomfortable. Regina is just taking it like a champ. Like, let's do this. Let's get it done. And then Yolanda's staying true to Yolanda too. She's a roll dog. Mm-hmm. So I think that again shows the dynamic and the importance of like the innocence that they're trying to have in the show blended with like what the raw, like what the reality is. No, it's not surprising that these people are stealing. It's not surprising that we're finding someone who's drugged overdose. We all don't have your life, Mylene. I thought that was like a cool dynamic.
Yeah.
Also, absolutely. I knew that we were going to have a moment where we saw Jackie a mess, but I didn't picture it would be that intense. Like that kind of caught me off guard. I was like, whoa. Because we talked about in the last episode how Jackie needs Mylene and Mylene needs Jackie. And I just didn't quite see that this is how far gone Jackie is and can be and how scary it can be. And it hit me like it hit Mylene, I feel like.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of the rock stars, even back in the day, I mean, Steven Tyler's rock, right? And this was like brand new hip-hop. This is when hip-hop was getting introduced and out into the mainstream. But a lot of those individuals talk about how drugs played a huge part in their creativity. So I wasn't as surprised to see him shooting up. The cocaine was more so because cocaine was a reoccurring theme in Grandmaster's life throughout this whole last 50 years or whatever. So the heroin was surprising to me, but the cocaine not so much. And I was like, this is a very accurate portrayal of what it takes to have that creative genius. Like, even the musicians today talk about that.
Yeah, especially when you're hearing all these crazy, like, just constant key switches. And it was so beautiful and jazzy and all over the place that song was. I thought it was beautiful. I'm hoping we get to hear a finished version of it later. But fast forward a little bit, the girls get Jackie on the train because Francisco is like, look, I paid 40 grand. I want to hear my song. Money's not ready to give up. So she's like, get him on the train. We'll get him down there. He'll play something. We'll figure it out along the way. And on this train ride, we get a lovely, like, trio of the girls just kind of singing a little bit, I'll Be There by the Jackson 5. And it's lovely. And, of course, Jackie wakes up and hears it. And he's kind of swept up, still in his drug haze, but he was like, this sound.
Oh, yeah.
This is what's
beautiful.
Good.
Beautiful. Yeah. The great harmonies. Writing. The harmonies were beautiful. And also, the picture of that was really interesting because Mylene had this, like, glow around her, almost like a halo. And I thought that was just an interesting touch that they did with the visuals.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the writing matched it perfectly. We see in the very first episode, or maybe it was the third episode, one where he's like, if music has to wake the dead, it has to sound like angels. And then he's almost dead from the drug overdose, and you see his eyes come up. And like you said, he's like, there it is. So I thought that was a really cool writing moment where they tied the visual to the writing. I thought that was great.
So fast forward a little bit. We're in the club. Francisco has a band there. There's a piano. It is in tune. They're ready to hear song. Right. Yeah. Jackie obviously is not prepared, and he's like, you know, forced into a corner. He plays it, and it's bad. It's not good. He's messed up. He's trying so hard to get into the groove, and he can't make up the next part. And Mylena's crushed because she's seen all her dreams fall away. And the girls are like, this is just par for the course. And then Ramon comes in.
This is the first time I actually was happy Ramon showed up. Because that's what triggered Jackie's on the fly. Like, hey, wait a minute. Here's the solution. But I was shocked to hear about his past.
Oh my gosh.
Did you see that coming?
Not at all.
I knew Ramon had some secrets. Like, I was like, okay, left the kids behind. I get it. Jill stint. Okay, almost killed a man and his wife.
Yes.
The fact that he left two kids in Puerto Rico and no one knows. Like, this family has the most buried secrets. Like,
Love it. Cocaine addiction, mess. Two babies, leaving them in PR, coming here for the disco, for the life of the music, and then getting here and almost killing people. I was just shocked.
And it also happened right in front of Mylene and all her friends. It was intense.
I thought it was great. I love when Francisco called him out.
But then Jackie has a moment of clarity. And he is like, okay, all right. Everyone stay calm. I'm just going to give you all a little of what you want. We're going to hope for the best. And this kind of is the new R&B sound. Like, if we think about modern R&B, it's a lot of these kinds of elements in it. It's a lot of church gospel. It's a lot of Latin beats. And then a little bit of disco. It's a little funky. I really liked the song. I thought that it was really great how they performed it in the there now in the club, and then did some flash forwards to the church. Yeah. Did you guys like that? Because it kind of rolled in. We do get that scene a little bit later, but I kind of liked how it was like, it felt like we were seeing what they were believing was possible now.
Absolutely. Again, another serendipitous, like, let's create this in the moment type of thing. I love Jackie's pitch, though, where he was like, even the sinners, we want to be free. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole epic monologue, I think, made the show. That scene, I got repetitive chills. I think that was the best part of that episode. 100%.
Nice.
When he was selling it, and then Regina, as in full circle, she's like, just go with it. And then they started singing.
And the girls are like, we get to sing too? And I was like, let it fly, ladies. You've got this. It was such a beautiful moment.
Everything came together. Mm-hmm. The families came together.
I like the next one.
All because of Jackie.
They're really grateful because, I mean, we just skip straight ahead to when they're at the table later. Yeah. They're having dinner, and mom's just like, you know what? He brought our family back together. He brought our daughter back under our roof. And Ramon has to just be like, my wife is always right.
Yes, that was good. Course. He meant it. Nice. I feel like he meant it.
He did mean that.
They definitely feel like they're coming back. I feel like Ramon's not 100% confident in what she, like, he's still leery of, like, she could stray.
Yeah, you see that. At the end, he does, like, a deep breath, and he's like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, but I do like that he's like, you know, okay, God's words. So better. We'll kind of work with it. She's dressed much more appropriately for a 17-year-old now. Like, it's going good. So I'm kind of glad we've got this family dynamic back together. It's feeling good.
What was the prayer? It was like, Puerto Ricans have more food, but we're skinnier than they are, so get us some food. I was like, oh my God, that was great. Oh, I was like, and how about Francisco?
Oh, I know, under the table, all that stuff.
Have you guys talked about this yet? What is their previous relationship? What is it? What do you think it is? Have you guys...
I think they were just had, like, a relation, like a real relationship, but it was secret, and it was theirs.
So you don't think that Francisco actually, her and Francisco were together, which introduced her to the brother, and then she ended up being with the brother because Francisco was a bad guy?
No, I did. I perceived it as she was maybe originally with the brother, started a side thing with him, and then was like, but look, he changed his life. Like, all these bad things happened, but now he's a preacher, and he's a good man, and he's trying, and he keeps me safe.
And she has so much guilt that she's running with him and going with him.
Oh, interesting. Yes, I was shocked to see the whole tickle under the table.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was great.
As they're all finally back together, this is still going on under the table.
I loved it. I would love to see them together.
Me too, because Ramon is crazy. Ramon. And Francisco has such a big heart, and I love Jimmy Smith. So anyway, so then we have Flash goes to see Xiao, and Xiao is like, look, you got this tape. We can clear, kind of. But you need to step up. You need to be the leader. You can do this battle, but don't lose. That's it. If you lose again, you're kicked out permanently. There's not going to be a second chance. This battle has got Xiao worked up. Like, he's ready to go. He's getting all... He's, like, kind of blatantly stealing albums from Liz Inferno. Like, I don't even care. We just have to win. I'm kind of nervous for him because a lot of times people build up big things like this. They let themselves get carried away a bit. How do you guys think he's handling the pressures of having to now really be a leader?
He's just focused. And it's nice to see him focus like that. And he's like, we're going to do it. And I think that his focus is bringing all the other guys along too with him. Like, he's like, we're figuring this out. And he's being brutally honest to the other guys too. He's like, this isn't working. You're not working right now. And he's just kind of looking at them. But he's like, we will get this figured out. I am going to get my part figured out. Are you going to figure out your part? Like, I liked him being a leader in this moment.
Yeah, I think it was very empowering when Grandmaster Flash said to him, in order to fly, you must trust your wings. So in that moment, I think it resonated with him that, okay, again, I'm not alone. He's very used to being alone. So when he exited out the door, he's like, all right, we can battle. It was good. He was pushed and he was stretched and it was great. And you see him owning, I'm the conductor. I'm the one in the lead. When they were eating.
Let's talk about the guys' different styles. So they decide off of Rara, who again, I love because he's so like just with it and business smart. He's like, look, we all got to rap. Like, yeah, their DJ is going to be tight. We already know that. And we know you can spin. We got to give them something different. So we're going to rap and we'll have Zeke just write all of our lyrics for us. And it'll be good. Zeke, who's now doing like girlfriend plus the group plus the side gig, is trying to balance it all, but he's got it. He's like, I'll just write on the train on the way to the interview. It'll be totally fine. So he writes them, he brings them back, and Dizzy's first out the gate, and he kills it. It's real good.
Boom, got it.
Yeah, he's got, you know, he's got his little acid flow.
I thought he was the weakest out of all of them, though. Like, I was like, eh, he's reading. I mean, he's got beat, but compared to the other two.
Dizzy's the least unique. Like, yeah. His style is just very, like, it's what we've been hearing from that era. Right. But he's got it down. He's got it down pat. When poor Rara goes up, crash
oh
and
my
burn. And I've never felt like, we already know he feels like he was a plus one back when they were Fantastic Four plus one. So it kind of resonated here in the room. And then it's with his brothers. Like, it's not even like a bunch of friends from the schoolyard he's going up against. It's his brothers. And they've got it down. Like, you know, Dizzy's doing what he does. But then when Boo Boo comes up, he can sing, he can dance, and he can rap. I was like, Boo Boo gonna be the first triple threat. Mm-hmm. Yes, get it.
Were you expecting that?
No, not at all.
I was expecting anything from Boo Boo. Yeah. Boo Boo kind of helped Dizzy paint.
Boo Boo's better than Bucks.
And he was like, did I do it?
Yeah,
like,
he's better than
Bucks. Did I mess up?
But you know, like, maybe we should have known because two episodes ago, we get him, like, yes, it's Flash's mix, but Boo Boo's adding his own little stuff on top, and he was really performing, like, yeah, giving that. He was selling it to the crowd that he was really spinning. So maybe we should have expected a little bit more from Boo Boo. I was really proud of him in this moment. But then Dizzy came through and just saved the day for me when he was like, look, it's not that he can't do it. We need to find, he's just thinking too fast. We got to double time it.
Double time it. Just double time it, and then boom, it just came.
You guys, rah-rah can rap for real.
Oh, like, that was so fun to see.
The rappers
so
always say if you rap at that quick level, that's actually the hardest thing to do is rap that quickly. So he is the most talented out of all of them. And then you see Xiao say, I was wrong. That was big.
That was great. And it was the first moment to me that felt like a group. Like as you called out, like, he's saying, like, look, it's not good enough. We need to work hard. We're going to do this with the albums. Like, just get it together. But then to be like, not only did he say, you know, I made a mistake, we got the whole group to feel good about themselves afterwards. Like, everyone came together, played their part. The guys are growing, and it makes me feel really good in my heart. Let's go back a little bit. So, because they've been out looking for this tape and getting caught up, Zeke oversleeps and misses his first day of the internship, to which Ms. Green goes all the way off. And I've heard this conversation more. I've never had the whole, like, you know, get your act together, like, everybody else is wasting it speech given to me, but I've heard it so many times given to friends and, like, cousins and siblings. Did this conversation hit you guys as true? Is Ms. Green kind of coming down on Zeke about, like, look, you can be more?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say.
Well, go for it.
I mean, my whole coaching business is focused on being self-cessful. Like, the road to success starts with self-cess. So hearing him, Zeke, say back to everything that they heard, like, y'all are trying to make me be what you want me to be, not me. It resonated with me big time because today, and it's interesting to see that it was happening even back then, which I knew, by the way, that parents parent these days. But even back then, pressuring and him being so mindful to be like, this, I know where I'm going. I know I'm the one. But this is your all's dream, not mine. So it didn't surprise me at all that they were coming down on him like that. It surprised me that Zeke was like, this is your dream, not mine. Because we don't focus on that enough. We are always reaching for what looks right, what's by the book. Even you hear them say, like, oh, you're a perfect candidate. You're poor. You're black. You're Hispanic. We might even want them to be a girl. Like, we still hear that today, mm-hmm. at least in business, like you do. So seeing him push back like that, I loved it. That's what self-cess is all about. No one even today does that.
That was really great. And then I also loved how his uncle came in too and put the picture down. His uncle, you guys loved Leon. His uncle, but I wasn't totally sold on his uncle the beginning. It took me a while, but that moment I was like, oh my gosh, you care so much. And just taking the picture, and it was quick and it was powerful and it was to the point.
Leon reminds me of every, like, older man in my family, and their brand of love is just tough love. Like, if I'm tough on you, you will learn and grow faster, so you'll be safer in this world. So I got Leon straight from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, but what really surprised me was it was tender. Like, his usual mode is like, I'm just going and poke. I'm just going to poke the bear and get you. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, look, you are lucky. Like, your mom sat and taught you piano. Like, your teacher came to this house to give you an opportunity. I didn't get any of those things. And I'm not going to let you not know how important they are. We can't force you to do anything, but we can at least make sure that you are aware fully of what you have in front of you.
Yeah, I think their connection really bonded when Cadillac pushed him at Les Inferno in earlier mm-hmm. episodes. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what made him show up the way that he did. And it was great. And it was, I think Zeke ran out the door at that point, right?
Yes, and he goes straight to the office. And even though the secretary doesn't like him, and even though he has very awkward stares in the elevator, he's like, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to get this. And it makes such a great impression that he gets invited to a Friday night dinner, which we'll see. Again, I feel like Gunn is probably not going to be our greatest ally. I'm very concerned that everyone is suddenly very buddy-buddy in his back pocket. This gives him a lot of power over people we really care about in the show. We'll see. I'm nervous about this event.
Well, I mean, he needs him. Just like Z said, he's like, you need me. You need me to be your poster boy. So I don't see him screwing them over anytime soon because he needs them for the election and everything else.
And I also think Zeke will show up. I think he will be at that dinner. I think he will be on his best behavior. I can see things in the future going weird, but I think this next step, he's going to be where he said he was going to be.
Okay, so let's talk about the most high. So this is obviously what they were practicing in the beginning. We see little glimpses of what happens at the end. They do press the record. It sounds amazing. They're able to use the acoustics in the church, which was formerly an opera house, which is why it sounds so great. And then Mylena goes to give the albums to the guys. And of course, Xiao can't give her anything. Like, not even, like, this sounds good. Because it's Xiao. Like, come on, it sounds great. Like, you can give her one compliment. He's like, this is all trash. This is lame. Nobody wants this. This is a boring part. Let's skip it. And then, of course, we hear those drums, which they focus so well on in the scene. I'm kind of mad that I didn't hear that was going to be the get down at the end. It surprised me. I was like, oh, yeah, those drums did sound cool. We did spend a lot of time looking at them, obviously, because it's going to be the base of dope, like, get down. And it's like sounds like the start of footworking. If you guys follow, I love footworking from Chicago. It's like that whole fast, like, b-boy kind of break dancing, but more about your foot placement. Mylene is not happy about it.
Yeah, I don't like that Mylene doesn't like Xiao. I love him. And I think it was just very...
And see, I don't like that Xiao doesn't like like Mileena. Like, why? What is your problem with
her? There will be a moment, though. There is going to be a moment that they do. I just feel it, that they're going to totally get on the same page. I bet Zeke will be in danger one way or another. And they're both going to step up, and then they're going to be like, okay, we can at least be cool.
I may be in your world, sweetheart. I don't see that happening. You don't see that? No. But I totally see that. Shao knows. Shao doesn't know what love is. He never had it. Mm. So he knows what Mylene is to Zeke. Zeke is his boy. If Mylene has the capability to take him away from, no wonder he doesn't like her. No wonder.
She's not even trying to steal him. She's just trying to help make him. No. Get it together. Anywho, so they find it, and Zeke's gonna go out and kind of, you know,
get it back.
Hey, swing. Girl, I got you. Right. Like, we're good.
His slick talk.
Just give it back.
It even impresses her girls, which is hard. They're like,
yeah, Regina thinks he's a dud.
Yeah. And so for her to come around and be like, oh, you're kind of sexy. All right. I was like, Zeke, you passed the test. Her best friends like you. You're in now. It's winning. It will be interesting to me to see if they do incorporate the song in the final battle. I hope they do, because they said they need to get out to the best DJs. I do want to see the queer community at this time, but I also am really excited to see which DJs have power switches, and to see like something from the streets come up. So I'm kind of hoping that's their trajectory instead. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. How do you guys think that record's going to hit?
Well, anything about setting people free, especially when people feel entrapped, I literally got chills every time. I think it was going to hit really well. And Little Wolf, we saw it. Sorry. For some reason, I just had a vision of Little Wolf being like, I bought you lunch shopping. So again, I feel like we're going to see him again for some reason with that. I don't know why.
Well, they have the record label, so it wouldn't surprise me if they maybe tried to buy her out later.
Oh, didn't know that. So we'll see.
Well, before we get into predictions, Mylena is then told about Leslie Les Gold, who is a nice Jewish girl who knows a good record when she hears one. So this is the pool that they want to go to.
But she was not the homosexual. No. Ramon was like, wait a second.
No.
I believe in the Jewish faith. Or something like that. Right, like,
that's okay. I got that. But no homosexuals. That was funny.
Those are cute. You might want to close your ears, guys. Sorry. So they're going to go to this pool and try to get her record picked up. The guys are working on their competition. I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of crossover as we've been kind of seeing them mix scenes and DJ with editing, which I just have to say is such a brilliant move for the whole creative team for the Get Down, just to be like, we're not just going to be DJing songs, we're going to be DJing actual scenes, actual cinematic scenes. It's so good.
Your intro too, where you're float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. The end, yes. When they were doing that in the circle around it, I was like, boom, boom, boom.
That was cool.
It was great improv work, because they're learning to read, because it wasn't assigned words, they were just jumping in on the beat, which again was just solidifying their teamwork. I feel like we finally have the Get Down Brothers. Like, it's been a lot of them trying to be the Fantastic Four plus one, trying to be the Get Down Brothers. But I feel like now that relationship is solidified, I'm really excited. Let's get into predictions right before the end.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Go ahead, guys. What do we think? We have the finale next week.
I think they're going to go to this... the DJ battle, and I think it will take the crowd to a minute to warm up. I think they're going to sit there and they're going to be like, what is this? This isn't what we're used to. We already know what we like. This is new and weird, but I think they're going to come through. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be the best thing that these people have heard.
So I'm going to jump way far ahead.
Get it.
And I predict that Mylene's father is Francisco.
Yes, yes. I have no doubt about that. In my mind, to me, after last week, I am 1,000% convinced that Francisco is the father of my team. That's why he's like, oh, you're going to cut me off? Me? Really? Do something. I think, okay, so next week brings the drama. We know from these amazing, amazing intros by David Diggs and written by Nas that Mylena doesn't maybe have the best ending. We're only 6 episodes in, so I'm praying to God we're not there yet. I think maybe we'll see some drama in that. Maybe we'll get some more forward clues. It always talks like he's talking about Shaolin in the past tense, so I'm worried about what's kind of happening with that. I'm worried everyone's gonna die, essentially. Like, I noticed Dizzy's not listed as being in that many episodes, and I'm like, what happened to Dizzy?
That too.
I was like, no! I really like that character. I'm worried about everyone dying, potentially, but I also think that Mylena is going to get signed in this next episode. I think someone's going to notice this record. Hopefully it's Leslie. I have a feeling Cadillac is going to be coming in. with all of his drama, with all the Fan Annie nonsense, and maybe try to take this over because we know he has a thing for her.
We shall see.
I'm very nervous, but also very excited because it's the last episode. And then we're going to be getting into next season, early next year, hopefully mid next year. I don't know. I hope they don't make us wait too long. Please, Netflix. In the meantime, tell us where the internet can find you guys.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Heather Yared.
And you can find me on all social media at Sheldon White 2.
Hi, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique. Check Black Girl Nerds this week. I've got an interview with Tika Sumter and one with John Legend up on the podcast. So download it. They should be out now. Thank you so much for joining us on Black Hollywood Live. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.